works.
There's no doubt who is responsible for this heinous use of chemical weapons in Syria. The Syrian regime. The president believes, and I believe, that those who use chemical weapons against defenseless men, women, and children should and must be held accountable.
Vice President Joe Biden throws in for the president saying what they think should happen as far as stopping Assad and his regime in Syria. We've been talking about this for the past couple of weeks. We've been talking about Syria since it exploded a couple of years ago. So now it is the time to either jump off this diving board or not. Throughout the shows, as I've said last week and this week, you can continue to weigh in on the president waiting. Is that a dumb mistake? Should the president act now or not? 855-266-5283. Coming up, we're going to have a conversation with Ivan Ilan, who talks about, who talks about the problematic areas in the Middle East, to say the least, and why it's not working, what's been happening, and jumping into the middle of it makes things so much more worse. The Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel is saying, "We are ready, baby. Give us the go sign, Mr. President, and we will pop them over there." I think that means we will send the missiles over. And Tuesday, the United States is preparing, as of Tuesday, now we're into Wednesday, Thursday, to declare formally that chemical weapons were used in the Syrian war. So John McCain, the senator who has been pushing this down everyone's throat, says cruise missiles ain't going to cut it, boys. Not strong enough of a response to Syria. Give me a break. He's saying we have got to put more into this. We've got to do it. But then the question is, okay, a little of this, a little of that, or all the way in. And see, this is what McCain means. That 3 days of missile strikes is not going to significantly impact what's been happening for 2 years. That we've just sat back on our hind quarters while the Syrian civil war has exploded into an unbelievable conflict. But the whole Middle East has exploded into an unbelievable conflict. The whole region. What's the strategy? What's going on? I thought we were in the middle of this glorious, wonderful, kumbaya Arab Spring. Baloney. So Assad, it's the second time since spring that Assad's government has attacked civilians with chemical weapons, according to our intelligence. So we are through with the red line. It is pegging. It's off the charts. And if this president's saying, once we get to the red line, then I've got to do something. Well, he's got to do something. He has to do something. Because he'll have no credibility. If I were the person who was his press secretary, I'd say, all due respect, but you said it's the red line. So you got to do something. And if the U.S. doesn't do anything, how much credibility do we lose across the world, not just the Middle East? And the opinions are wall to wall. Every politician has an opinion. 3 days of cruise missile attacks is not going to cut it. I agree with that. If you're going to do attacks, you got to hammer them hard with the attacks. Hammer them hard. Remember, McCain met with some of the Syrian rebels earlier this year and called them freedom fighters. Others are rightfully so worried that arming them could be a little bit dangerous, guys. Because we don't know all these rebel groups. And how many are connected to Al-Qaeda? So are we helping Al-Qaeda? Are we helping Al-Qaeda in this scenario? That's a scary thought, isn't it? We're going to end up paying some kind of a price for this or not. And how high is too high? We're at the breaking point at this point. We are at the breaking point. And I've said that before, but we are. So there has to be a good reason, and the reason would be the chemical weapons and the kids and the women and all that other sort of stuff. But isn't it interesting that the USS Cole commander said, hey, 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 wait a second, we're not ready. We can't do this. We are not ready for a strike in Syria. It would be ineffective, so why are we doing that? We don't have an international coalition. So what Commander Kirk Leopold is saying, we're not ready. Launching some tomahawks, just pooming them in there, is not going to do anything. What is the one common denominator among all the Republicans and Democrats? Very few are going to say we don't need to have a broader consensus about what to do and where to move things. So when is that happening? Obama is contemplating a missile strike of limited range, enough range to reach intended target, but and duration in response to the reports that the government's chemical weapons have been used on innocent civilians. And remember, Leopold was, that's why I said the USS Cole, was a commanding officer at the USS Cole when it was attacked in 2000 by a suicide bomber while it was in Yemen. And the attack that blew a hole in the side of that destroyer killed 17 American sailors. 17. So lobbing a few cruise missiles is not going to do much. It's not going to do much. You could say, well, it's better than nothing. And yes, it would be better than nothing. But how costly at that? How costly? And that's what you have to ask yourself. All right, I want to give you a preview of what's coming up. I mentioned it briefly in the beginning, but Ivan Eland will join us. And Ivan's interesting. He wrote a very powerful piece, and this is why I'm having him on. He wrote, he's actually blogged and written a bunch of interesting things about the Middle East and some other things that are happening. But he says the decentralization of governance might help some of the Middle Eastern counties that are in turmoil, might help them by decentralizing the governing that's going on. Because this is the problem. Thousands of years of religious wars. We want what we want. You want what you want. We saw that in Iraq. The Shiites, the Sunnis, the Kurds. And things are going backwards in Iraq. What ultimately is the right play in the Middle East in a couple of different situations? We're going to talk to Ivan next on the flip side here on America Tonight.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, August 27th, 2013. Gold opened this morning at $14,1890. A one-ounce gold coin can be purchased for $14,6971, $734.85 for a half ounce, or $367.43 for a quarter ounce. That's $14,6971, $734.85, and $367.43.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Hi there. My name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123coverup.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are, incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you will be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123coverup.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123coverup.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123coverup.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's 123coverup.com.
We're welcoming back to the show now, Ivan Eland, and he's with the Independent Institute, and he's got a new book out, too. We'll talk about that. But here's what I love. He wrote a piece called The Decentralization of Governance May Help Some Middle Eastern Countries in Turmoil. So, Ivan, thanks for coming back on America Tonight. And one of the things that you talked about, and it's something that we talk about so often, we look at what I call the chessboard of the Middle East, and you start off and you say, you know, so much of the focus on that coup in Egypt, and you talk about the repression ultimately of the supporters of the elected democratic government and ultimately what that's led to. And now here we go again with this familiar thing we've seen before, the civil war, and then you compare it to some other things. You talk about Al-Qaeda. Ultimately, what is the solution? I'm going to just start off big. What do you think is the solution here? And you say it in the title.
Well, I think basically a lot of these countries are artificial countries that are left over with colonial boundaries. Egypt less so than, say, Syria, Iraq, Lebanon, Libya. But what you really need to do is decentralize these countries because, like, for instance, Libya has many tribes, and now we have tribal militias roaming around. In Syria and Iraq and Lebanon, we sort of have the same ethnic group a lot of times, especially in Iraq and Syria. You have the Kurds, you have the Sunnis, and you have Shiites. And in Lebanon, of course, you subtract the Kurds and add the Druze. So you have a multiple ethnic-sectarian groups or tribes, and they all fight for control of the central government because the central government has levers to oppress one group, you know, allowing one group to oppress one or more of the other group. And this has been a history in all these countries. So it's not a thing that's rare in these countries. And therefore, if you have the justice system and the security provided locally, for instance, in Libya, you do have tribal militias. Perhaps this should be ratified so that the boundaries are clear and whatever. But, Libya could be a loose confederation of tribal entities. Iraq the same way. With you have the Sunnis, the Shiites, and the Kurds. And in Syria, of course, you know, it's too late to stop the war. But after the war is over, what we may very well have is that delineation where Assad and his fellow Alawites, which is a form of Shiite Islam, they control the coast and Damascus and that corridor there. And then in the northeast, you have the Sunni rebels, and in the far northeast, you have the Kurds. So they may all have their own areas after the war is over, and you could get some sort of a peaceful settlement where they would be a confederation under the Syrian banner. Iraq would have a confederation under its banner. And I think with this patchwork of groups, if they all rule themselves and the central government is weaker, then they have less of an incentive to fight over the central government. And that's really what's occurring in all these countries.
Yeah. Do you think the works got kind of gunked up there because of international interference in some cases in these countries? Do you think that's what led to some of what we're seeing, or no, that would have happened anyway?
Well, no, I think particularly in Iraq, these countries have proven ungovernable unless you have an autocrat. Well, no one wants to see an autocrat, so the only alternative is to have this sort of confederation, I think, for stability. But in the meantime, this autocrat, the U.S., overthrew Saddam Hussein, who at least kept peace in the country. You know, there weren't, roadside bombs or suicide bombs every day, as we're seeing in Iraq now. It certainly was an iron-fisted rule, but there was stability in the country, and people weren't scared for their lives on a day-to-day basis. And, of course, the U.S. went in and overthrew that. Now, in the case of Syria, it resulted from peaceful demonstrations being repressed by the Syrian authorities. But of course, we see that the current ruler and his father have governed that country with an iron fist for many years, and of course, that's falling apart. We had the Lebanese Civil War from 1975 to 1990, which the U.S. and Israel meddled in quite heavily. And of course, we saw the Libyan, where we overthrew Gaddafi, and now we have a terrorist haven down in the southern port, and we have all these weapons that Gaddafi had, which went down into Mali, and the government couldn't control the northern area because they have all these Islamic radicals, and the French had to go in there. So, and of course, that French going in will probably create new problems because the guerrillas have melded back into the woodwork, and perhaps going back over into Libya. And more than likely. And so every time the West intervenes, particularly the U.S., I think in many of these places, we make new enemies and we create more instability.
We're speaking with Ivan Elan. He is a senior fellow at the Independent Institute. And Ivan, you know, you have a great line here. You said the problem in both Iraq and Egypt is not their elected rulers didn't include every societal group in the government and let them sing kumbaya. It's that they don't have a culture of political tolerance that will allow liberal democracy and the rule of law to take root. It's what we're talking about here. Inclusion in government is less important than the government's respect for minority rights and than the losers of the election waiting to compete in the next one rather than resorting to violence to attempt a coup. The Muslim Brotherhood, from your point of view, what, you know, ultimately in looking at their members and the people attracted to the Muslim Brotherhood, is it being misrepresented? Is it a clash of extremists and those who aren't extreme? What's your take on MB?
Well, they have been an established group in Egypt for decades, and they have been peaceful in their most recent decades, and they were even peaceful with these demonstrations against the government, largely, and the government suppressed them. This is an example where we in the West, we have blinders on. We think everybody who's a devout Islamist is an Islamist terrorist, and there's a big difference. And the Muslim Brotherhood were Islamist as far as they were devout Islamic people. And we're dealing with an Islamist government in Turkey, which we've gotten along with fairly well. This is a devout Islamic regime, but they adhere to democratic processes. And yes, Morsi acted a little bit authoritarian, but the real key was the court nullified the parliament, and that was the key in the Egyptian problem, was that the Mubarak era court, with a lot of holdovers from the Mubarak era, nullified and threw out the parliament that was duly elected by Egyptian citizens. The Islamic vote was 75%, 51% from the Brotherhood, and 25% from an even more Islamic group. But I think we have to work with these groups, and we're making the classic case in the U.S. that we made during the communists. We said, you know, a Soviet communist is the same as a Chinese communist, is the same as a Vietnamese communist. Well, eventually Richard Nixon figured out, wow, we could drive a wedge between these and cooperate with some of them and against the other ones, the more dangerous ones. And that's what he did when he opened China. And I think what we need to do is we need to choose the Islamic parties that we can work with, even though they're kind of foreign to us because we don't have the same religion that they do, and they seem extreme. But if they're willing to, you know, be in some sort of a democratic process, and we can't expect the process in Egypt to be perfect. And I don't think Morsi was out of the realm of acceptability. He had accepted the Israeli Egyptian peace treaty, and he was governing by leaving, you know, the military was still there when he was in power as well. And of course they ousted him, but he wasn't our favorite leader, but we were trying to work with him, and I think that was the right approach. But of course then he got overthrown, and I think the Egyptian population is probably going to regret that, because this military government is even worse than the Mubarak military government as far as oppression. They're already starting to oppress some of the more liberal and non-Islamic elements, as well as the Muslim Brotherhood. So I think we have to pick off the groups that we can negotiate with, and let's keep it to groups that are actively attacking the U.S. that we go after, such as Al-Qaeda. I don't think we should enmesh ourselves in conflicts, and I don't think we should be in the Syrian conflict, because I think, you know, we could get blowback extremism from the Syrian conflict as well.
Ivan Elin, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. We appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty, and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our families' health, are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, Agent, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
This October, thousands of people from all corners of the world will descend upon Orem, Utah. But it's more than the fall colors or the snow-capped Wasatch Mountains that brings them. It's the semi-annual Great Utah Preparedness Expo at the Utah Valley University Event Center. It's the most unique preparedness event on Earth, with over 30 world-class lecturers giving over 50 presentations. Learn from experts about below-ground greenhouses, super winter survival, herbal medicine, bunker building, even urban evasion and escape tactics taught by SEAL team trainers. These people are the very best, and they only get together twice a year at the Great Utah Preparedness Expo. There's also over 100 vendors selling very unique preparedness, emergency, and survival equipment, plus solar and alternative energy products. The semi-annual Great Utah Preparedness Expo, October 11th and 12th in Orem, Utah. Sponsored by Youngevity. For more, visit superprepfair.com. That's superprepfair.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Talking about things that affect us when we're looking at the Middle East. And Ivan, you've got a new book out. Tell us about your new book.
My book is called The Failure of Counterinsurgency Warfare. And it's basically why the wars like Iraq, Afghanistan don't go very well for powerful Western countries. And I don't just look at those examples. I look at many examples over history, and you reach the conclusion that most times the lower-tech guerrillas can beat the higher-tech opponent, and despite all the technology, the higher-tech opponent gets arrogant, and oftentimes a lot of the advantages, they don't seem to be on the surface, but underlying, they really are with the guerrillas, and the United States should be very careful, and other great powers should be very careful about going into counterinsurgency warfare against guerrillas.
And you weren't surprised when you did your research for this, were you, or weren't you, with what your conclusions that you came up with?
Well, a lot of the most obvious cases, it's not clear that going in is a good thing. And as I researched more cases, even the successful cases were always caveated by the fact that the factors that were successful or made them successful are not uniform, and it's very difficult to reach conclusions that you should always do this to win. They're very messy political wars, and the counterinsurgency forces have to win both politically and militarily, and a lot of times they can win militarily but not politically. And, of course, the guerrillas only need to win one of those two, and they win. So it's really easy. And also, the key element in these wars is to win the hearts and minds of the people. And that's why the full title of the book is The Failure of Counterinsurgency, Why Hearts and Minds are Seldom Won. To win this, the hearts and minds of the people, you really have to, if you're a foreign power, it's almost impossible to do that because you're a foreigner. For instance, in Afghanistan, you have the Taliban, which is very brutal, and we can't understand why the Taliban still has so much popular support vis-a-vis the U.S. when we're pumping aid in there and trying to help the population. Well, it's just because foreigners don't get the benefit of the doubt oftentimes when you go in there, and locals like the Taliban do.
Yeah. Ivan, if somebody wants to pick up a copy of your book, where can they get it?
Well, the easiest place, of course, is just Amazon. It's always there. You can order it very quickly. So that's probably the easiest place.
There you go. Go to Amazon. Ivan, thanks for coming on the show. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, so a lot of conversation there about the Middle East. And, you know, ultimately it's the same thing that we're saying. We've talked about this back with Iraq and Afghanistan and Egypt and what's happened in Egypt. And now here we go. We've been dealing with Syria, at least feelings of what should we do and where should we be where Syria is concerned. We're seeing a few things so far. Joe Biden being sent out saying that we can't tolerate chemical weapons being used on people. We see that oil has spiked up on the negative news, reaching an 18-month high, while the stock market is tanking on that news somewhat. It's been kind of a roller coaster ride, but that's what happens. We've got destroyers, four of them in place. They could launch those Tomahawk missiles, lob them in, and do that for a couple of days. David Cameron from the UK on board with that wants to see something happen. But what good does it do ultimately? And the UN pushing for that humanitarian aid, saying there's so much more that has to go to the people who are struggling to survive. And then this little nugget about North Korea trying to send weapons to Syria. And gas masks as well. So is Assad getting ready to say, you know what, you want to lob some missiles in here? Guess what we're going to do? And he's certainly not either because they're denying any chemical weapon use. But are they amping up for something else to happen? North Korea tried to push those masks, but they were seized in Turkey with arms and a whole bunch of ammunition to boot. So with this threat from the U.S. over taking some sort of action because of the chemical weapons attack, it seems to me that the back channels are working, or at least that's what we're hearing about, that the back channels are working. So what does that mean if something should happen and there are missiles rather launched? They're lobbed, because it's really more like lobbing them in there. It's if you picture it in your mind, the trajectory and how close it is. So 1,300 people have been killed, kids, women, the whole, you know, you get it. You know the picture. Doctors Without Borders, who I trust implicitly, has said 355 people died from dying from chemical weapons, the neurotoxic symptoms. It showed the people that they treated, the people that were dead. You had the UN inspectors that were shot at from snipers, at least one of the cars in the convoy that they were with when they went to Damascus to look at the, you know, the claims of the chemical weapons. And you have our Secretary of State, John Kerry, saying it's undeniable. Undeniable is the word he used. And that there would be some sort of a response for the actions. So we're talking, as John Kerry said, how can we allow the indiscriminate slaughter of civilians, the killing of women, children, innocent bystanders by chemical weapons? That it's a moral obscenity. Is it a moral obscenity and front to you to see this happening? And absolutely, what we're seeing here And what ultimately the play is there something that we're missing? Is there something that we're missing that hasn't been put on the table? I mean, you know, this is a familiar theme, but a much more horrific, I'll call him dictator, than we've dealt with to date. He's the most horrific, I think, because of the amount of people that have died. So this is it. The red line is pegged, and either we're in or we're out. I've said that now a couple of times because to me that's what the deal is. I think they'll use black ops. I think they'll use missiles, and I think that's it. And then can you imagine if there was some crazy response from Assad as a result of that? You know, who knows what this opens up? You know, in planning and saying, okay, militarily, here's what I'm told. Here's what people are saying. Here's what's widely being reported as well. And pumping them in, pumping the rockets in, what is it going to do? What's it going to do? You remember all of the conversation about weapons of mass destruction. We got to get those weapons of mass destruction. And then there's, of course, lots of time for other things to disappear. But then how everything unfolded after that. So what responsibility do we have here? What responsibility do we have with this? And here we go again. So the gas masks to protect them from the people using the chemicals, and yeah, there's much more that meets the eye or that doesn't meet the eye that's happening that we're not completely aware of. And this president who was Mr. Peace and wanted to get us out of Iraq as soon as possible, and that happened in 2014, or that's happening in 2014, this goes against what he said he was about as he came into office. So this on the heels of the NSA spying and grabbing your information, mine, and who knows, grandma's information, and who knows what in between. But some serious decisions have to be made probably in the next couple of days. Any strikes against Syria would just be, from what I'm told from a source, don't expect massive bombing or something. There's no scud stud in our future to be reporting. And you can see the scud. No, that this would be hours and that would be it. It would be over with. So if anything happens, the play is don't expect for it to last a long time. We have our destroyers in place. We are ready to roll and we're going to make it short and sweet. But what does that do? If we've got even long-range stealth bombers, what does it do by some missiles, by missile strikes? What does that make Assad do, back off? Would he really back off with the missiles, the simple cruise missile strike? It doesn't seem likely to me. Doesn't seem likely. And each Navy destroyer has about 90 Tomahawks. That's what they could have at one point. So you figure we got four, so multiply that, maybe give or take, and they might not all be up to 90. All right, the fire in Yosemite, we're talking about it next here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of a hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. You've thought about it for years. Well, the time is now. You need a secret bunker, and you need it deep and strong. Atlas Survival Shelters should be your first and only choice. The experts at Atlas can help you choose a shelter that has all the comforts of your home and is 11 times stronger than square box shelters. Call Atlas at 1-855-4-BUNKERS. 1-855-4-BUNKERS. Or visit iwantthatbunker.com. Atlas Survival Shelters. Better prepared than scared.
As we hit the final turn here for this hour of America Tonight, we've got next Wednesday, we're getting back into football, and it means that, yes, football is back on America Tonight once a week. Nail the Score. We do a Nail the Score segment. It's on Wednesday. It's a lot of fun. Randomly, our computer picks the game of the week, and you call in. You don't have to know anything about football. You pick a side, who you think is going to win the game, and what you think the final score is going to be. If you correctly nail the score, you clean out whatever's left in the prize closet. So it's a lot of fun, and it is. It's a lot of fun. People, we've been doing it since we started America Tonight, and people always seem to really enjoy it, so we're going to have some NFL guests and other people on, too, mix it into all of this political conversation that makes us so exasperated far too often, right? So instead, we're going to mix in a few other things along the way. It's only for 3 segments, and you don't have to know anything about sports, like I said, or football or like it. It's a cheaper thrill than plunking down $2 to pay for a Powerball ticket, because it's like that. It's just like that, and you could end up being a big-time winner. Not a big winner at this point are the 3,500 firemen. I mean, in my book, they're big winners, and it's incredible what they're doing. But trying to stop this fire in Yosemite, I've said it already, to me, they call it like the beautification areas, the places where people go and spend time by the waterfalls and all of that. They're still okay at Yosemite, but my goodness, if you could see, and maybe many of you have seen it, just the wall of fire, red hot fire, bearing down and just chomping on anything in its path at Yosemite. This is a brutal fire, and a lot of people are laboring to get it out. I mean, it's incredible how many firemen they are using on this thing because it's so, so big. And it was, I think, Izzy that pointed out to us, and she was right. I double-checked on this today, that there's only so many helicopters and planes that they have that they can use on Yosemite to help get, you know, terminate this fire, because you have people on the ground and then you've got others in the air dropping fire retardant. And that fire retardant can be really powerful, especially when you're talking about lines and blocking places off and ultimately putting out the fire. But we're short some of what we should have aerial, so that's not helping us. And the rim fire is just a menace. And it's been going and going and going and going. And it's at the edge of what they call Hetch Hetchy Reservoir, which has customers in the Bay Area, power-wise significant. 2.6 million is what they estimate it to be. And they're panicked. They're panicked. And people are panicked about their houses and, you know, El Capitan rock formation, rather, is the thing that you see. When you go into Yosemite and you've never been there, that's what you're looking for. That's safe. It's miles away from the rim's fire. But where that other fire is near that reservoir, that is what's so scary for the people in San Francisco. The utility companies are not liking this. Do you know it's now already the seventh largest fire in California's recorded history? Because, you know, what we don't know, we don't know. Maybe there was one bigger, but seven is pretty significant. Very significant. They're evacuating new areas now north of a place called Old Yosemite Road. And it's pretty difficult terrain, and that makes it tough for these crews to be able to get there and get it out. So you got others who have tried to help with the helicopter situation and the plane situation. And so what we have now is you have the tankers, you have the C-130 tankers, you've got helicopters and other helicopters coming in, so 20 helicopters. So there are other people who are trying to help and lend equipment or do whatever they can. And to try to get the firemen, because there's so many in and out, they've had to close off several roads. And, boy, the timing for this just could not be worse. But it's about saving anything they can. You have homes there. You got a big stretch that could be threatened. You've had 31 houses and 80 what they call outbuildings that have already been destroyed. And this fire, here's what you have to remember. This fire started over 10 days ago, August 17th. And the cause, they don't know. They're looking into the cause of this. So was it somebody who accidentally dropped a cigarette? Is it something that was a spark? Who knows? The fire investigators are pretty good, and they'll be able to nail this down. But if you could see the map, it's sad how much is going away, how big of a stretch. But right now, it's still not in those areas that I was talking about that would be just crippling to people who have on their bucket list, frankly, Yosemite. Go see Yosemite. Make the trip out there. Go and take whoever. But Yosemite is perilously close to a couple of things. One, knocking out the power in San Francisco, and also pretty close to what could be destroying the popular areas that draw people from all over the world to make that extra step or two to Yosemite, because If you're in California, not a big deal. If you're in Washington, if you're the West Coast, not necessarily a big deal. Much more of a pain if you're flying into San Francisco, rent a car, drive out. And, you know, we don't want to lose this gem. And especially in the particular areas, we don't want to see that happen. So I'll be curious to find out what investigators say happened that caused this. Because there have been lightning strikes that people have reported that have been part of the reason for some of the fires that we've seen. But this is, I mean, this is really pretty bad stuff. I don't know any other way to describe it. We have a quick follow-up. They're saying for sure now, thank goodness, and it seemed as though this was going to be what it was. I told you about being on the Jersey Shore and seeing dolphins and some dolphins washing up on shore. And the killing of the dolphins, they believe, is a virus. So the reason so many dead dolphins were washing ashore in the East Coast is because of that. That it's very similar, by the way, to measles in humans or canine distemper in dogs. But disease experts have been testing and testing and testing, and they are trying to nail down the specific cause, and that's what they believe, that dolphins' death alarmed the biologists, and they said that they've never seen this before, and they keep saying it's some kind of a weird strain of a virus. And it's too bad the dolphins have gotten stuck in shallow water, have washed up on the shore, and over 9 times the average for July and August is gone over. So some are found alive, but very few. Most are found in different parts of decomposition, or some are found intact, but they're definitely dead, and they want to figure out what it is so they can save the dolphins. The bottlenose dolphins, they're pretty big news, and they're protected. So what was it? Infections, malnutrition, something else that we haven't heard yet. If you have any thoughts on the show, you can share them with me, of course, anytime. Shake it up. Send it to us, AmericaTonight.net.
It's coming, and it's the event you and your family will not want to miss. The Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, Saturday and Sunday, September 7th and 8th, at the newly renovated Oxford Civic Center in Oxford, Alabama, where admission is totally free. There's something for everyone. Free classes and seminars on topics like food preparation, food harvesting, and food preservation. Free giveaways every 30 minutes. You could win seed kits, food, doTERRA oil, starter kits, water filters, and more, including a year's supply of food. Guest speakers include Bob from Black Dog Survival School, Mike from White Harvest Seeds, Dr. Tom Stoner from Dr. MedKits, and more. And be sure to stop by and check out the Youngevity booth, the Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, September 7th and 8th, a weekend of education and preparation that's totally free to attend. Don't forget, the Country Inn and Suites in Oxford has special rates available for those who attend the expo. Get all the details at thesouthernpreppers.com. That's thesouthernpreppers.com.